Joe, before you're cleared, do you have a love for God?
Check.
Time for God?
Check.
Is your Bible open?
Check.
Do you have no distractions?
Check.
Well, Joe, we are cleared for takeoff.
Heaven, how might this be my story? Heaven, how very soon I'll be gone. Heaven, how to my mansion in glory. When you hear the trumpet sound, I'm heaven bound.
Cleared for Takeoff is a preparatory program for your faith journey. And now, here is your host, Deacon Joe Montone.
Good morning, my friends, and welcome to Holy Spirit Radio on our program, Clear for Takeoff. This is Deacon Joe Montone, and it's a privilege and a pleasure to be back here with you on the air at 1570 AM WISP and 1420 AM WCOJ. This weekend, we celebrate the 24th Sunday in Ordinary Time, and we remember 9/11, September 11th, 2001, a day in which thousands of people were killed as the attacks on America took place from the air. And as an aviator for many years, I can appreciate the fact that airplanes were used as weapons and took the lives of many people. And so today we remember those people who gave their lives. We remember their families, their children who have lived for many years now without their parents, without a mother or a father. And we remember the value of life itself, because it's so precious. From one day to the next, we saw the loss of, you know, more than 2,700 individuals who were taken out from the destruction of the World Trade Center by air, and also the Pentagon and the aircraft also that went down in Pennsylvania. And we remember those who gave their lives to rescue other people, the firemen, the police, the medical personnel, who did their job to get the very, most of the people who were struggling to survive at those precious moments, those last moments. So we thank them for their service, and we reflect back once again on 9/11. And where were you on 9/11? Where were you on that very day? I remember I was coming out of a church, and a woman said to me, she said, "Joe, I heard on the news that an airplane hit the World Trade Center." And being an instructor pilot for many years, I was very curious. I said, "Wow, that's incredible. It must be a small Cessna." She said, "No, I think it was a large aircraft." And sure enough, when I got home after leaving the church and I saw the news, I could see the aircraft that were used were airliners to take out the World Trade Center, the Pentagon. And it was a terrible day for America, and it really shut down the aviation industry, which put a halt to transportation in America by air because of the high risk. And so we have learned a lot after 9/11, and we truly, saw that night that the churches were packed. The churches were indeed full with people who wanted to be closer to God. And we conducted the rosary for a packed church here in Yardley, PA at St. Ignatius. And I was asked to lead the rosary that night. And I just tell you that I'll never forget that moment, that we spent within the church itself. And churches around America were packed because people were in fear. They had never seen that kind of an event, and truly they wanted more of God at that very moment. They wanted to feel secure, and that's where we are today, my friends. In the year 2022, we reflect back on 9/11, but we today want more of God, and we want to be closer to God in good times and in bad times, to develop that strong relationship, that peace that only He can give to us, the grace of God that only our Father in heaven can provide. We want that desperately. And the way to get that is through a relationship with Jesus Christ. And so let's get into our readings today as we normally do. Let's go through our checklist. Number one, do you have time for God this morning? Check. Number two, is your heart wide open for God? Check. Number three, is your Bible open? Check. And number four, are you free of distractions at this time? Check. And if you've answered yes to those four questions, then you and I are ready to engage in the Word of God. Let's go to our first reading from the book of Exodus, chapter 32, verses 7 to 11 and 13 to 14. And here it is. The Lord said to Moses, "Go down at once to your people, whom you brought out of the land of Egypt, for they have become depraved. They have soon turned aside from the way I pointed out to them, making themselves a molten calf and worshiping it, sacrificing to it, and crying out, 'This is your God, O Israel, who brought you out of the land of Egypt.' I see how stiff-necked this people is," continued the Lord to Moses. "Let me alone then, that my wrath may blaze up against them to consume them. Then I will make of you a great nation." But Moses implored the Lord his God, saying, "Why, O Lord, should your wrath blaze up against your own people, whom you brought out of the land of Egypt with such great power and with so strong a hand? Remember your servants Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, and how you swore to them by your own self, saying, 'I will make your descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky, and all this land that I promised. I will give your descendants as their perpetual heritage.' So the Lord relented in the punishment he had threatened to inflict on his people." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. In the book of Exodus today, the Lord says to Moses to go down at once. There's a sense of urgency to your people who had brought you had brought out of the land of Egypt, for they have been depraved, morally corrupt, my friends, wicked, evil, sinful, degenerate. And so the Lord gives Moses a command to really go down to address the people. And we want to, you know, reflect on the fact that the Lord had brought them out of Egypt, out of slavery, and given them a new life. And truly, you know, they had strayed once again. And so God calls us to a life of self-discipline, to adherence to God's instructions. And within the book of Deuteronomy, we see the blessings of obedience identified and given to us by Moses himself. But here in the book of Exodus, the Lord said to Moses to go down and to address the people. And so, you know, we today are in the same position where there is morally corrupt individuals. Each of us have the vulnerability within us to sometimes be morally corrupt, to be sinful, to make mistakes. And God calls us to adhere to his instructions. And the way to do that is to have a close and personal relationship with Jesus Christ. In word and action, to be involved in the Word of God as often as we can, to adhere to it, because we're imperfect human beings. We're vulnerable. We make mistakes, but God calls us to strive to be perfect. It's no different than it was back in the times of Moses. And we see it here in the book of Exodus in our first reading that Moses has to give them, you know, some instructions once again. And it's powerful. He wants them to be cooperative and to adhere to the word of God, to listen to the instructions. And this is a powerful reading because the Lord relents in his punishment that he had threatened to inflict on the people. So we see the mercy of God. We see God's care once again. We also reflect once again on those blessings of obedience that are out there for the taking. And God wants everyone to have those. And we can't get to those if we're in that zone which we call not to do. God calls us to comply with his commands and to be good men and good women, to be good husbands and wives, mothers and fathers, to be good in all respects, because the steps of a good man is an order from the Lord. It's something that we must comply with. And so we see the mercy of God given to us once again. And Moses actually, you know, asked God, you know, why are you going to, you know, inflict this wrath upon your own people? And so God reconsiders and he, you know, relents in the punishment towards the people. So God's mercy is infinite, and he always wants the best for you and I. The question is, do you and I want the best for us, for ourselves? Or are we engaging in morally corrupt, wicked, evil, sinful circumstances? Think about it objectively, my friends. And we all know that we are humans. We are prone to make mistakes, prone to give in to our greatest weakness, our most vulnerable area. But God calls us to a higher standard. And today I challenge you, my friends, to live out that higher standard by spending more time in prayer with our Lord Jesus Christ and our Father in heaven, spending more time with like-minded people who can lift you up closer to God and to eternal life. Let's go to our second reading from the book of 1 Timothy, chapter 1, verses 12 to 17. And here it is. Beloved, I am grateful to him who has strengthened me, Christ Jesus our Lord, because he considered me trustworthy in appointing me to the ministry. I was once a blasphemer and a persecutor and arrogant, but I have been mercifully treated because I acted out of ignorance in my unbelief. Indeed, the grace of our Lord has been abundant, along with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. This saying is trustworthy and deserves full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Of these, I am the foremost. But for that reason, I am mercifully treated, so that in me, as the foremost, Christ Jesus might display all his patience as an example for those who would come to believe in him for everlasting life. To the King of ages, incorruptible, invisible, the only God, honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. And in the second reading from 1 Timothy, my friends, St. Paul identifies who he is And he says, I am grateful to him who has strengthened me, Christ Jesus our Lord. Are you and I grateful to God? How often do we praise him? Do we worship him? Is it only on Sundays for 1 hour? Or is it something that we do every day? Do we give him thanks for all of our blessings, graces, and gifts? Do we acknowledge him in all things? Do we see God in other people? Or is this just a 1 hour of the total week where we focus on God and then we put him aside until next Sunday? I want you to think about that, my friends. You know, what today are you grateful to God for? What has he blessed you with? Think about it. Do we sit down at the table every day and say a blessing at every meal? Or do we just eat and then disappear from the table and are reluctant to acknowledge God in the blessing of having a meal, having food and drink on the table for our families, our children? Are we cognizant, my friends, of the blessings of good health, where so many people have poor health? So many children have poor health. And you and I may be healthy today, but we want to acknowledge that God has blessed us with that good health. The blessings of obedience, which include, you know, the blessings of good health and good work and good food and a great home to live in. The blessings of children. Are we acknowledging the things God gives us? Or do we take them for granted as if I did it all myself without God's help? Think about it, my friends. How grateful are you and I to God? Are we reluctant to show it? Are we reluctant to share the love of God with other people? When we are blessed, when we receive a blessing, a newborn child, the gift of a beautiful marriage ceremony, a wonderful blessing of good people, good friends and family at the dinner table during a holiday meal, when so many have no one else to share the meal with. St. Paul says this, he was considered trustworthy by the Lord in appointing him to ministry. Can you and I say the same? Can you and I be trusted by the Lord? What responsibility has the Lord given you that you have upheld, that you have been, you know, taking on for months or years, and you can see that the Lord trusted you with this responsibility, with this ministry? I remember one day visiting with a man in prison who had been convicted of multiple homicides, and our visit was over an hour. And it led to a multiple year ministry. And the Lord entrusted me with this man's time for several years. And there are so many examples to identify as responsibility that God has given to you and I. He's trusted us with children. As a coach, he trusts that person with the children to be a great coach, to teach them the right way to go, both on and off the field. But for the people out there who have been given incredible responsibility in hospitals with the sick, in nursing homes with the elderly, the mentally and physically ill, and with the clergy who care for the flock, who are charged with mentoring the flock, inspiring the flock, God gives them the responsibility to take care of those people, those nurses and doctors, those firemen, policemen. Those people out there have been charged with doing the right thing when people are watching and when they're not watching. God is always watching. He knows every word and every action. He can see what others cannot. But for those people who have been given great responsibility, we say thank you for taking it on and for doing the job that you've been doing. And St. Paul identifies himself before as a blasphemer, a persecutor of the church, arrogant, but mercifully treated by the Lord, ignorant in his unbelief, but God, in his mercy, gives him a new life, a second chance. He gives him enough grace, abundant grace, to write 13 books of the Bible and to be a frontline evangelist to the end of his life. God gives him faith and love in Christ Jesus, who was truly at the core of his conversion, who took St. Paul's eyesight away for 72 hours and through the mercy of God gave his eyesight back to him. And it's powerful. Let's go to our gospel reading, my friends. A reading from the Gospel of Luke. Luke chapter 15, verses 1 to 32. And here it is. Tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to listen to Jesus. But the Pharisees and scribes began to complain, saying, "This man welcomes sinners and eats with them." So to them he addressed this parable. "What man among you, having 100 sheep and losing one of them, would not leave the 99 in the desert and go after the lost one until he finds it? And when he does find it, he sets it on his shoulders with great joy. And upon his arrival home, he calls together his friends and neighbors and says to them, 'Rejoice with me because I have found my lost sheep.' I tell you, in just the same way, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous people who have no need of repentance. Or what woman, having 10 coins and losing one, would not light a lamp and sweep the house, searching carefully until she finds it? And when she does find it, she calls together her friends and neighbors and says to them, 'Rejoice with me, because I have found the coin that I lost.' In just the same way, I tell you, there will be rejoicing among the angels of God over one sinner who repents." Then he said, "A man had two sons, and the youngest one said to his father, 'Father, give me the share of your estate that should come to me.' So the father divided the property between them. After a few days, the younger son collected all his belongings and set off to a distant country, where he squandered his inheritance on a life of dissipation. When he had freely spent everything, a severe famine struck that country, and he found himself in dire need. So he hired himself out to one of the local citizens, who sent him to his farm to tend the swine. And he longed to eat his fill of the pods on which the swine fed, but nobody gave him any. Coming to his senses, he thought, 'How many of my father's hired workers have more than enough food to eat? But here am I, dying from hunger. I shall get up and go to my father, and I shall say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I no longer deserve to be called your son. Treat me as you would treat one of your hired workers. So he got up and went back to his father. While he was still a long way off, his father caught sight of him and was filled with compassion. He ran to his son, embraced him, and kissed him. His son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I no longer deserve to be called your son. But his father ordered his servants, quickly bring the finest robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Take the fattened calf and slaughter it. Then let us celebrate with a feast, because this son of mine was dead and has come to life again. He was lost and has been found. Then the celebration began. Now the older son had been out in the field, and on his way back, as he neared the house, he heard the sound of music and dancing. He called one of his servants and asked, what might this mean? The servant said to him, your brother has returned, and your father has slaughtered the fattened calf, because he has him back safe and sound. He became angry, and when he refused to enter the house, his father came out and pleaded with him. He said to his father in reply, look, all these years I served you, and not once did I disobey your orders. Yet you never gave me even a young goat to feast on with my friends. But when your son returns, you swallowed up your property and prostitutes for him. You slaughter the fattened calf. He said to him, my son, you are here with me always. Everything I have is yours. But now we must celebrate and rejoice, because your brother was dead and has come back to life again. He was lost and has been found. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ. And the Gospel reading within Luke today is very powerful, because it shows the love of a father for a son. It shows forgiveness, which we are called to do. And to celebrate the re-engagement of a father and a son and a family. We celebrate when children come home after being lost, going astray. Separation has taken place. And the word says that there will be rejoicing among the angels of God over one sinner who repents. And so this, my friends, is a great piece of scripture which we can all identify with, because we are all sinners. And at one point in our life, in one way or another, we may have been separated by, you know, our families. And God called us home again. So at this moment, we pray for those families who still have separation, that those families will come together through humility and will show an abundance of forgiveness, an abundance of the love of God within the hearts and minds of each of them, and open their doors so that the separation will disappear and they will have true love once again through mercy and forgiveness. That's our show for today. May God bless you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Have a great day and God bless you. We'll see you next time here at Holy Spirit Radio and Finding God and Clear for Takeoff.
You have been listening to Cleared for Takeoff with your host, Deacon Joe Montone, a weekly preparatory program for your faith journey.